The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the Best of Tokens Radio Show.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. Not when I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn
welcome
other
to
man.
Tokens Radio Show. This is Christy Matthews here with Linda Kent and Cameron Walfort. There have been a few exciting newsworthy items this week that we're going to talk about, and we'll hear about them after the break. And then later in the show, we're going to be hearing from Brent Allgood from Adaptive Workshops. He'll be talking about the flagship product, XB Reality. So if you manage a team and want to grow them and grow the team and communicate with each other as a team, then you're going to want to hear from Brent. The topics discussed on the show are not financial advice. Be sure to discuss any financial matter with a qualified financial advisor. You can join in the conversation by calling in at 605-4567 or in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. And you can join our Telegram group at t.me/tokensradioshow.
And this episode is brought to you in part by Phantom Financial. If you're using a centralized exchange for tracking and trading your cryptos, then you're doing it wrong. Not only do centralized exchanges implement extensive fees on your trades, but they also restrict you to tokens they've independently approved. Break free from the chains at Phantom Financial, where you can track and trade the hottest tokens on the Phantom Network. Visit phantom.financial for more details. That's phantom.financial.
All right. Well, we all know that it's holiday season. I'd like to say Merry Christmas. And if you're like me this year, I'm kind of behind on getting my presents. I'll be honest. I haven't got my husband his Christmas presents at all yet. So anyway, if you're like me and you're still trying to decide what to get your family and friends, you may want to consider cryptocurrency for the holidays. You wouldn't be the only person buying crypto as a present. There's 1 in 10 people that are gifting crypto this holiday season, according to a new survey by BlockFi. So you wouldn't be alone in that realm of things. There's a little bit of an education that you need to have if you're going to be buying crypto as a gift. And a lot of people need to maybe obtain some knowledge in how to do that. Or you can always just buy like a gift card. That's what I'm thinking about doing. There's a lot of gift cards that you can get that doesn't take a lot that you can buy with your cryptocurrency. There's platforms like Bonaki or send it directly to someone with various crypto exchanges from one wallet to another. And I said that name wrong. So, go ahead.
That's Binance.
Yeah.
That's okay. Bonaki is a great name. I like that name.
You know, you got to screw up one once in a while, you know. At least I do. But anyway, so back to the topic. If you want to get a last-minute gift, you can do crypto, and you can buy gift cards, and you can obtain quite a few Satoshis in doing that goes towards your own Bitcoin. So you're going to benefit them as well as you.
You know, and there's a great card out there called Fold. If you haven't seen the Fold card, you can come on, you can find out about it at the Bitcoin530.io site or get into our Tokens Radio Show Telegram group, and we can get you the link for a Fold card. When you use your Fold card, you're going to be spending money that you normally spend. We use our Fold card to buy groceries, get gas, all of that. And every time we use that Fold card, we get Satoshis. It's a great way to start building your Bitcoin portfolio up.
Yeah, and just so people know, the Fold card is just like a regular Visa card.
Yes, it's like a debit card.
Yeah. You know, yes. Nothing special, but yeah, I like getting the Satoshis for it, so.
Yeah, it's a wonderful card.
You get to spin the little wheel and you never know. You may win a Bitcoin out of it.
And then recently, well, in other news, not as much holiday trending, but Redditor recently commented on some price predictions that had been made by some of the biggest crypto channels on YouTube, some with over a million subscribers and just loaded with clickbait thumbnails that have been unfortunately performing pretty poorly, as 13 were wrong, or 13 of his 14 price predictions, sorry. So the Redditor himself, and what I would like to bring out of this story, is that do your own research, look into the projects, and don't just go to social media, YouTube, or anything like that looking into cryptos. It is a very vast field, a big space, and it is it's a saturated market no matter where you're looking. So make sure you're not looking for something pushing or someone or something that's getting overpushed with no intrinsic value that you can personally understand.
So maybe you should check out the source that you're listening to a little bit more than just take it for granted that he knows, that one person may know something.
Well, you know, nobody is a fortune teller. Mm-hmm. Even your best stock market market makers will say that they can't pick stocks.
Right.
They can use tools and use projections, but nobody has that forecast, because if they did, there would be some pretty rich people out there getting off, going out and making purchases on these predictions.
Well, if it's like gambling and you could do that, that's called counting cards, and you get in serious trouble for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yes. So another newsworthy story was Puerto Rico's in the news. And, you know, they announced that they may be looking to the blockchain as a solution to fight government corruption. Say it's not so. Particularly
what?
After a Puerto Rican mayor pleaded guilty to accepting a cash bribe of more than $100,000. A Puerto Rican House Speaker told Bloomberg, you know, we have real credibility problem. More transparency and accountability would be great. And that sort of, that blockchain would sort that out, and that technology potentially offers a way of leveling the playing field, and it might be part of the solution. Blockchain technology can play a big role in the area of land titles, as has been shown, like in the country of Sweden, for instance, where such a program has been particularly implemented. It can also have huge impact on procurement and elections. Say it's not so. Do you think we can have fair elections? Oh, my goodness.
What do you mean? They would be accountable and every vote would be counted and it wouldn't matter who was counting them?
Well, in one person, one vote. One address,
really?
One vote. No. Maybe it's just something we ought to have as part of a community discussion. But as I digress. So imagine if an agency or state like Puerto Rico, the CIA, the UN, had an open ledger of all their spending. Wouldn't that be great to do an audit?
Wouldn't that be wonderful in Shasta County? I'm just saying, after what we talked about earlier today, that would be awesome.
So all in all, blockchain technology can be an effective means to fight government malfeasance, as it introduces more transparency into governmental spending, which makes corruption more difficult to commit. What a concept.
Yeah.
And before we go back to the break, we just have one more post from a Redditor that we believe really can amplify the significance of Bitcoin and its future, and for those that see it, what it means to them. So coming from the post, as a multiple full coiner, I can't be bothered to work again. It's been a year since I've worked. I live in a country where cryptos are not being taxed. My monthly expenses are 5 to 1 million Satoshis. That's about $472 per million Satoshis, or approximately $3,100 per month that he's spending. And I currently hold over 600 million Satoshis in my offline hardware wallets. That's approximately $285,000. As time goes by, my monthly expenses will get lower. In about 4 years, I think my expenses will be just under 1 to 2 million Satoshis per month. That's approximately $945, and by 2030, as low as 100 satoshis, which is approximately $4.72 in United States dollars. There is even a good possibility that a whole coiner will get over 6 million satoshis in a year in interest yearly by future institutions. Knowing that my sats will last decades and maybe even forever, I just can't be bothered to work for some a-hole again. Instead, I use the time to do what I want to, not what I have to. The daily stress is gone. Thank you, Bitcoin. Many people, including your humble host, agree with this statement. And with that, we'll go to break.
All right. This is Shasta Bitcoin Retreat and Summit. You know, are you worried about the rising cost of living, especially on a fixed income? Learn how cryptocurrency can curb the crippling effects of inflation at the Shasta Bitcoin Retreat and Summit on Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th, 2022. 1- and 2-day tickets are on sale. Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
This is the Best of Tokens radio show.
We are back, and the next segment that we have with our guest is a pre-recorded session that we did earlier in the week. But please stay with us because we will be discussing things on the other side. And with that, we will go to Britt Allgood.
And now let's bring in Brent Allgood. Brent is the CEO and Chief Technology Officer of Adaptive Workshops. Adaptive Workshops and its flagship technology, XP Reality, is an experimental learning platform to build high trust relationships to master the new normal and reconnect teams. And hello, Brent. Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this project, please.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. So XP Reality is an experiential learning platform. Part of the reason that we were doing this and where we got started was I had a friend several years ago who ran a VR arcade in a mall. His brother was working with juvenile justice system kids, and he was pushing these kids' buttons. He was pushing these kids to play games in the VR, but he wouldn't let them play the easy levels. And so these kids would get frustrated, and most of them had explosive behavior disorder, meaning that when they get angry, things get broken.
Mm-hmm.
And had one particular kid that, after several sessions of this, getting his buttons pushed, just took his headset off, hung it up on the wall, took his controllers, put them on a little tray, and then went and sat on the couch and folded his arms, and he was just angry. And they talked to this kid and says, okay, so what happened? He says, I'm mad. Well, what are you mad about? Well, I couldn't do it. Well, couldn't do what? I couldn't do it. So why didn't you throw the controllers and break stuff like you would at the JJS hall? He had a long pause and said, because I respect him and I didn't want to break his stuff. I said, so you can control your anger. And so watching these guys work with these JJS boys, and they were trying to put it together for that, and I said, what if you took all this and put it in a system where you had people who wanted to do this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that were eager to learn these kind of concepts and be able to grow and build relationships with each other and be able to do things exponentially. It was, what if we took this into businesses? And that's where we got started. That was about 2.5 years ago.
That's amazing. I love that story, and there's so much potential with that technology, particularly for that segment of that you were working with, you know, the challenged youth. You know, team building events are expensive, and, you know, all businesses nowadays are looking at their balance sheets with much more scrutiny and determining what their budgets are going to be here over the next year. So how does your technology save the business owner and still deliver a high-quality outcome?
Well, any business owner knows that a lot of those kind of decisions, particularly in the business, are outcome-driven. They're generally not emotional decisions. They're logical. They're purposeful. If you get into somebody that really gets in a mindset like mine, you're looking for that return on investment. So businesses that recognize that kind of thing, that they need to spend some money on, they'll put a budget together for it. The industry standard is between 2-3% of a person's salary for those kind of things, and they are looking for that ROI. So when you have something that you want to do, and especially if you're a C personality like mine, you take that step back and say, why? Why do you want to do a team-building event? What's the purpose of this event? What's the end result that I'm looking for? So you apply that specifically to team building. Why do a team building event? What's the expected outcome? And this is where it actually starts coming out as company culture. So what kind of a culture do you want in your company? So when we ask these questions to a lot of our prospective clients that we talk to, the answers always come back the same thing. We want our people to work together. We want them to get along. We want them to communicate well. We want them to collaborate. We want them to solve the problems of why they were hired in the company. And so we say, okay, what you've just described is that you want high-trust relationships. So what do you need to do to build a high-trust relationship? What do you need to do to forge that relationship? They need to bond at a level that's meaning to both of them. They need that empathy, not just empathy, say, okay, one of the stories I can tell is, you know, I buried my baby girl. She was born 101 days early on vacation. We kept her for a little over a year, but she got sick one last time, and we couldn't keep her. So if I talk to somebody else that has lost their kid, you know, we have some level of bond, we have mm-hmm. some level of understanding, but it may be totally different. You may have lost somebody to a car crash. I mean, that's totally different. But there's still some level of empathy. So we use the VR as that platform to experience that empathy, that we're pushing their buttons at the same time to build that trust, to get them to open up and talk to each other. When you look at it from the perspective of the research that I've done a lot of research in the last year and a half on this, that I've got some quotes that I can pull up. I can't remember where I've got them. But one of them is basically that just a small increase in performance of your employees can result in huge benefits. So 15% increase in employee engagement can result in a 19% increase in revenue. So a chief revenue officer cares a lot about that.
Yeah, that's significant.
It can also produce a 29% increase in profit. That's huge.
Mm, yep.
But it also can create a 40% decrease in faults and errors. So just that little bit can actually really turn companies around. So when you look at it from terms of ROI, for what we charge for our workshops, you're talking 15, 20x return on investment for our workshops.
Oh,
that's incredible.
It is.
That's
incredible.
A great ROI,
you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And your story about people being connected and stuff, I can relate to that as your story and your story was. You know, moving along, I know you said something about, like, team building, and companies do that and they can make more money at it and things like that. I've never really been into a big company and had to do that. I have a lot of clients that do it, and they all go, oh, God, this week we had a workshop. You know, I spent 8 hours in the workshop, didn't learn a thing, hated it every minute, went right over my head. I could give a, you know, about it, you know. And so why would your system be different? What, you know, do people go, oh, yeah, I'm going to a workshop. You know what I mean? Is it more exciting for them to get engaged with this? Because, of, like you say, your percentages do go up. You know, the company's business will go up. So what kind of system or what are you doing different, I guess, is what the question would be that would make people go, oh, guess what? Brent's doing a workshop. Let's go. Ha ha. I have my coffee. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's a huge industry. So, like I said, companies spend between 2 and 3% of an employee's salary for their learning and development budget. So that turns into about $200 billion a year just in the United States. So there's lots of different things that companies do for these kinds of things. I mean, you've got your traditional lectures and conferences. Those are great. They have their place.
Right.
You have the simple, let's just go have fun activities. I'll tell you a story. I've done Star Wars probably 3 or 4 times. We've done movie openings. We've done picnics in the park. And then there's the competition ones. Those ones are a special place for my heart in those. But the competition ones, they're a lot of fun, but who always wins?
Mm-hmm. Usually the same people.
The same people. I worked for a company years ago that we would do those kinds of events, and we just knew who was going to win. The CEO and the top sales guys, because they always won. So the reason we use the VR is people.
Excuse me. Why is that? Why are the same people winning? Why do you think that?
Because they're the alphas. They always win. They are generally a key personality. They want that control, which is what makes them good at being a CEO or good as the chief revenue officer. That's what makes them good at their job. They are very competitive. They like that control. They seek that control.
Mm-hmm. Could there also be an element to where their employees don't want to outdo their CEO, their supervisor, so it's kind of dumbed down?
So I've got a friend that actually builds and writes a lot of the mystery escape rooms. and then licenses them to other places all through the country. He actually has cameras in his escape rooms, and he films everything and then sends it to Carnegie Mellon University for analysis and study from their psychology department. And he actually has, and I've talked to him a number of times, that he has video, and you can see it on the employees' faces, but they would actually fail the escape rather than show up their bosses. It's puzzling. He doesn't understand why.
Maybe because they're afraid of what might happen if they outdo their boss.
I've seen that there. I've seen that in the real world. Definitely. It happens.
So the VR platform that we use is a game, but it's one of those kind of games that you cannot win. It's how long can you last? And the way we use it is some of the things that we do when we set the goals in there is how do we get everybody to have an equal score? So then we start getting the people who are just very quickly adept to playing it to teach how to do other things, to coach the ones who aren't as good, or to trade positions and do stuff like that, but try to get them to communicate together and work together so that everybody is as equal as they can, as a challenge to them. So, okay, let's get everybody have an equal score. See if you can do that. What do you need to do to accomplish that goal?
So it's what I'm hearing is, am I correct in saying that it's competition with themselves, not with each other, kind of?
In a certain respect, yes. Part of what we're trying to do is get them to open up and communicate. It's very interesting that every workshop that we've done, the very first round, the first group that comes in, all of them never say a word, or barely say a word. They are overwhelmed with the new environment. They don't know what the rules are. They don't know what the goals are. They don't know what the expectations are. But we, as a society, have been conditioned for so long in our school systems to do it yourself. I mean, from preschool on, don't cheat. Don't copy your friend's homework. If you don't understand, you're only allowed to ask the teacher, but unless you have the relationship with that teacher, I mean, I struggled with that kind of stuff in school. And so we've been conditioned for so many years all throughout school to do it on your own, and then we're thrown into the workplace where, well, as a business, that's the whole purpose of having employees, is so you don't have to do it alone.
Right.
That's where we get the hammer out and start breaking those barriers down. Let's take that wall out. Let's get you to communicate and say, hey, you know what, I don't fully understand this. Can you help me with this? Or I'm overwhelmed. I have too much. Can you help me with this? I mean, that's the point of having employees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a two-part question for you on it. So, first, it's really interesting that you don't have that winning aspect of, oh, let's do this and see who's the best or whatever. It's more how well can we work together and last, if I'm understanding right. But could I ask, first, could you give maybe an example of what you're trying to outlast and how it is that you, well, how teamwork inspires doing that? And then second, is your project catered to each company, or do you guys have sort of a broad set range of goals that you guys have found is equally effective across the board? Or I won't run on too much. I'll let you kind of run away with that one. Sorry.
Okay. We do have kind of a basic outline of how the workshops actually work. So we'll come in, do an introduction, give a very brief introduction to the VR, and then throw the first group in and let's fail. They've never had so much failing in their life. The first group out is always very overwhelmed, but they get in there. And so when we're actually playing, we actually put the group in two. So we have four headsets with a group of eight. So four people are in and four people are out. The four people that are out are actually watching the others play and categorizing some of their behavior. And we're talking to them and saying, hey, are you noticing that nobody's talking? Do you see that nobody's offering any help to each other? You see this person did this, but they're not sharing that information with anybody else. So that first group that goes in kind of get, I think it's the back end of it, because we give them very little instruction. And then we start correlating that with the real world. So one of the ones that we tell people is, this is very much like your first day on the job. If you have a new team member that comes in and you've got this group that has been together for a long time, and you suddenly got this brand new hire that's part of the team, do they really fully understand everything that's going on? No, not even close. So what do you need to do to get them up to speed? So some of the things that we do, we talk about communication a lot. That's really what it's, what it comes down to, is being willing to ask for help. But we also get into those roles. And so we have several modules that we talk about in the workshops. So those modules are basically communication, roles, setting goals, and a strategy to achieving those goals. And then we correlate all that information from the VR experience back to their work experience. What is your role in the company? What is your role in the team? What are your goals in the company? And how does your role within the team or the company help that company achieve their goals? What kind of a strategy do you have in what you do every day in the office that would lend itself toward achieving those company goals? And so that outline is pretty much the same, but the goals that we go through with each group is individual. So we're kind of coaching them to figure out what it is that they want. And so each group will come up with their own goals and their own strategy. We're guiding them basically the same way, but they're coming up with their own ideas and their own strategies.
So conceptually, that's like amazing, especially because it's like down to like a childhood level. There's a do as I do, not as I say, and here's this. We get to tell them what not to do, and then you show them why and why that's ineffective and why it could be disruptive toward achieving their end goals and how it relates to their businesses, which I just think is, I mean, it is extremely broadly applicable in my eyes, so that's amazing. And I do understand that you'll be speaking at the Shasta Bitcoin Summit. Is it possible that people will be able to engage with your products there?
Oh, yeah. We're bringing everything out. We're going to have everything all set up.
When you say everything, can you kind of give us an overview of what everything would be?
Oh, well, that's another story as to how we roll.
I mean,
back in the very beginning, before I even came on board with the company, a mutual friend of mine called up and said, hey, can you come and help? We're going to go do this off-site event, and we need help. I said, okay, sure. So we're dragging these towers in one at a time, the screens in one at a time, I mean, everything one at a time, cables dragging on the ground. It was a mess. And so at the end of it, I pulled aside and said, okay, look, next time we roll in rock and roll. We roll in with Anvil cases. There's nothing hanging out. So that's what we have now. So we're actually set up to actually go wherever we need to go. Our preference is actually to go to an organization and set up in their office for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it takes to get everybody through the workshops. But we're actually set up to roll. So that's what paid for my degree. I was an electrician backstage. I worked on campus in the theater backstage, and basically Ballet West paid for my degree. Every time the ballet would come in, I'd go back and do class and work. So that's my background was rock and roll. In fact, the last show I did was Lollapalooza. I still have my crew shirt.
Oh, wow. You know, Brent,
we're set up to roll.
Yeah. That's good to hear. And we probably could talk, you know, for another couple hours on this subject. I know that we are all looking forward to having you out here in March, but we're kind of getting to the end of the show here on this segment. Can you tell people how to get a hold of you or where to go to look to get more information about your product if they want to get some prior to the summit in March, on March 18th and 19th?
Well, yeah. We have our website up. I don't love it, but it's up and running. It's one of those things that I've had to learn from the control side, that it's good enough. It's maybe not exactly what I want, but it's good enough to get across the information and how to get a hold of us. So adaptiveworkshops.com is up and running. Our phone number's on the website, and we actually have a scheduler on the website. So if you actually wanted to go ahead and see when we're free to roll in, it's actually up to date right now. We're actually negotiating 4 contracts right now that would take us probably about 2 months to complete everything, but nobody's scheduled it yet, so we're wide open, except for when we're coming to California in March, and then we have another one in April at Utah Valley University that we're also doing. But it's lots of good stuff. It's the experience that they're after. They want to participate because it's fun. That's why it works.
Well, Brent,
that's the secret sauce.
We're going to be coming up to a break here, and we're going to have to conclude our conversation.
Yeah. I really look forward to trying out your technology. When I saw you before, I didn't realize what it all engulfed in, so I just thought it was a game. And now I'm learning so much more, so I'm really interested.
It's just not a game.
I know. I'm very interested in trying this.
Yes, it's just not a game.
You nailed it. They all think it's a game until they're done, and then they recognize what it really is.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that my kids won't play by themselves. They will only play if it's a group.
Oh, cool. Well, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing this information with us. And with that, I guess we will be going to a break.
All right, thank you for having me.
You bet.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is the Best of Tokens radio show.
All right, and we are back. And I think we need to discuss a little bit about what Brent was telling us about is the virtual reality stuff that he's going to be bringing to us. It's very interesting to me. And like I said, when we pre-recorded it, I'm looking forward to finding out more about this stuff.
I think we're going to have to peel you out of the XB reality suite because you're going to have too much fun over there.
Yeah, I just, it is just something to me is kind of like, you know, when I was a kid and I watched, my brothers loved Star Trek, okay? I couldn't stand the program. I'm sorry, I couldn't stand it. But it's kind of like that, you know, it's just so far out there. Who would have ever dreamt that we had, that would be reality nowadays?
You know, and Brent was saying that the suite is set up with a game that's Star Wars-like. Now, he has a copyright on the program, but it's Star Wars-like where you're going to have to kill things and you're going to have to use lasers and you're going to have to communicate with your team members and you're going to have to rely on them. So if you're playing any kind of competition type of thing, you know, like paintball or something like that, you've got to rely on some team members to cover your back. And the same thing in the XB reality suite. And, you know, one of the things that he had talked about was, you know, yes, he uses this for corporate team building and so forth, but I just found it fascinating that the work that they did with incarcerated juveniles and the reduction in the recidivism.
Sorry,
going back to jail.
I didn't want to try it either.
We don't want them going back to jail. Basically, it was reducing that.
It was effective.
It was very effective. And the children, what happened is that they were actually able to practice their skills on how they would handle coming back into their environment, because that's usually where the recidivism happens, is once they get back home, they're starting to mix with the same friends that they had, and next thing you know, they're being pulled into the same type of crime activities that they were doing before. And in the virtual reality environment, they were actually able to practice the skills that they learned there and have that coded into their brain because of the neuroplasticity, that the neurons that grow just from playing the games, that they were able to take that with them out on the streets and stay out of trouble and mix with the friends that were getting them into trouble before.
That's really interesting because you don't find a lot of programs out there,
right,
or different techniques that actually has that positive outcome like that,
right,
whether it's with teenagers, adults, whatever category we want to talk about, because there is so many trouble areas,
right,
in society and the community these days. So to get something like that back, positive feedback is really cool, I think.
I can imagine if you're a social worker or if you're in law enforcement and you're working with troubled teens, this might just be something that you can add to your toolbox that would be very helpful, especially for those that you know are on the borderline of recidivism or coming out on the other side and being productive contributors to society. So, you know, this could be the game changer for those kids.
Yeah, that would, you know, I did respite for about 10 years with the homeless children in Denver. And to have something else in your tool belt to help with that transition and getting them stimulated and moving forward would have been awesome. I have to agree. You know, back then, you know, this was like 20 years ago. We didn't have a lot of tools like that.
And then if you just look at everywhere that the technology is going, if you look at everywhere that the technology is going with virtual reality and applications beyond just team building, there's legitimate skill building involved there,
right,
and applications beyond that that carry into making a more, sustainable work environment, but that's a more fluent work environment where you could have people actually doing their office jobs where they're wearing these and they feel like they're sitting on a beach doing their typing and computer work. And it's just that immersion, what that offers to an individual. It can make work feel like play. It can make team building feel like play. And there's just that that innate desire that you're doing something neat that makes more tedious task be a lot more enjoyable, maybe.
And we're living in times right now where it's okay to have fun and work at the same time. I mean, we've moved into a whole era of that right now. The way my parents grew up, it's like they worked jobs that they hated, but they did that because of the availability of jobs, the jobs that met their skill sets, and they paid the bills. But now things are different. There's so many ways to earn a living and have fun doing it. And this is one of the ways.
Yeah. Gotta like that, you know?
I mean, the gamers are out there using virtual reality, and I guess the term is game to earn to play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the term?
Play to earn.
Yeah, play to earn. Right.
Yeah. And then on top of that, if you are someone that's interested in this, I mean, you can go out there and get those graphics cards, get yourself set up for like a really nice virtual reality rig for yourself. But then when you turn that off, you could just start mining Bitcoin because those graphics cards are priceless these days for that reason.
Always so. Want to be mining some sort of coin.
I was going to say, it's kind of twofold, huh? How this could work for you.
In fact, Brent, that's what he does is when the rigs are not being used, and he might be mining Bitcoin when he comes out here in March. He was doing that out in Utah. So when the rigs were not being used for virtual reality, he was mining Bitcoin.
So if you need an excuse to go upgrade your computer, you can get paid to play and paid to let it sit.
Exactly.
Gotta like that. That's a good investment. Nice return on your money.
Yeah, definitely.
If it's constantly making money, hey, it's good. You know, that's what you need. All right. Well, there's a question that I keep getting, and we're just going to barely touch on this. I know we're kind of running out of time. And let me see if I can get the question out there correctly so everybody can understand. So I've got people that are coming to me and saying, you know, when we're talking about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and stuff, in the beginning, when Bitcoin was created, we all know that it may have been one person, it may have been a group of people, okay? But when it was created, and I pay you for Bitcoin, how does that work? Where does that fiat money go? How does it get used? How do you, the in usage, who's the person it's going to? Everybody's kind of like, well, who's the one that's getting rich? Because you're paying them all this money. And so I present the question. I told them I really didn't know the answer to the question, but I would find out for them. So
that's such a rabbit hole question.
I know. So, but you got to stop and look at it.
We got a couple minutes to talk about it.
So go, Cameron.
Okay. So to just jump through it as fast as possible. Initially, when Bitcoin was first being developed, developers and people in the network would send it to each other for their labor and stuff like that. And then the famous transaction came when they ordered a pizza using Bitcoin. So that established some base value for Bitcoin. Now, when people started trading it with each other and there was a base value for it, maybe you wanted to get in on it, but you couldn't mine Bitcoin. You didn't have all the proper hardware, but you wanted to own Bitcoin. Well, if you knew someone that had some amount of it, then you maybe went and bought it from them, gave them straight cash, and they would get you set up to transfer. As the demand for this increased, central exchanges started facilitating peer-to-peer exchange, which means one user to another can send it, and there's a community or a company in the background that's facilitating that transaction, making it so the cash lands in the seller's bank, essentially. Further down the road, there's something called smart contracts, which are, they operate something called decentralized exchanges, which means that you don't have to trust a bank or an exchange with your money. Instead, people provide pairs with Bitcoin and something else, whatever they would like to receive for their Bitcoin. And essentially, as they pull it together, they're sort of working as a bank to hold all of this Bitcoin. And as it's as other people want to get in, they'll buy stable coins from central exchanges, which transfer into this decentralized network. So you can carry a dollar, like your fiat carries into the decentralized network, and you could buy Bitcoin with something that's pegged to a dollar, and each transaction then offsets the price of that Bitcoin. So when it's going into that decentralized network, if you're buying Bitcoin now, the person getting it is thousands, if not millions, of people who are providing liquidity for these, and each transaction is being, like, it's a really fun way of removing a middleman. There is no who that gets the
fiat
money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a central exchange when it's initially fiat going in, but even on that, that is essentially has to sit in a vault to be moved out of the central exchange and get into that decentralized ecosystem. So it's really interesting.
And to add to that, to simplify that, and I told you I'm going to go down the rabbit hole on
right,
this one.
Yeah.
You know, a couple thoughts come to mind is that, Cameron, you have Bitcoin for sale and I'd like to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do a transaction together.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use our wallets and transact that way. But you know, way back when, this was almost like a drug deal. You would meet up with somebody. It might be at, a
might
coffee
be in
shop.
Parking lot.
And you would be looking over your shoulder and you're going, oh, I don't know. Is anybody watching me? And you have this transaction. It may have happened on paper. There might have been an exchange of a wallet address and some money exchanged. And that's how it used to be. And here we've gone into, which was a very eloquent way of saying this, Cameron, is where we've migrated to and how much progress we've made with this technology. And we're only scratching the surface. I don't know if that answered the question entirely.
It kind of does. And I think this is a subject that we will probably talk about.
We're going to expand on it.
We're going to expand on this. But, yeah, it kind of gives somewhat of an idea. So with that, I know that this week is Christmas. We're not sure if we're going to be here the day after Christmas. Hopefully we will. If we are, we will be talking about all kinds of different things. One thing is we got some real mind-blowing things that are coming out about Bitcoin and the perspective of it in space with the Space Force Guardians. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but they are actually a part of the military that Trump created when he was in office. So it's really mind-blowing. I just couldn't believe it when the information got brought to me on it. So if not, we will be doing a pre-recorded show. So hopefully you guys all have a very Merry Christmas and be safe out there. And until next week or next year, we will be seeing you. And if you have anything you want us to talk about, please let us know. So have a great week and Merry Christmas. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Or Bitcoin as you're going into the old blockchain. Or Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down to Tennessee, see they don't care to be a millionaire, they're just wanting to be free. Or Bitcoin as you're going into the old blockchain. Or Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to take this moment to thank our veterans and those currently enlisted in the military for their service. Since 2006, Redding Kia has set out to be the premier automobile dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2022 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive the 2022 Kia Sorento today. Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000 limited-mile powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue.